Well, it's thank you so much, Shona. It really is great to be here this morning with you. And it is not an easy process, is it, in times of vacancy, as we know. But I really want to honour the leadership team that's here. They are really tremendous people. I'm not just saying that, I really believe that and can see it, and really ask you to continue to pray for them. And likewise, at the end of the service, if you want to talk to me about anything about the vacancy, please do so. But we're all trying to back together, yeah, to see your church move forward. I've certainly got that in my heart very much. So I think you're going through Mark. I hope you're going through Mark, because I was told that. So I'm going to look at Mark chapter 4. The parable of the sower, which I think we may have on the screen. Oh yeah, there you go. And just going to look at this together this morning, which is familiar parable, I guess, to many of us. But you know, there's always fresh things in God's word, isn't there, to receive. And so this parable begins then. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Mark. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. So he's by the lake of Galilee. The crowd that gathered around him was so large, he got into a boat and sat in it out in the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. So who knows that Jesus was a walking revival, that wherever he went, people were drawn to him like a magnet because he was so full of God. Of course, he was God, but you know, he was so full of God's love and God's power, and God's goodness, and God's wisdom, and God's compassion, and God's strength, and who knows that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so Jesus is in the midst of you here. And so where there are problems and difficulties we face in our own lives, and we've all got them, and where there are difficulties in the church and a way forward, yes, God is big, and God is able, and God is good, and if God is for us, who can be against us? And I just love that fact of the picture of the crowds. What must it have been like to be there on the ground as Jesus moved and Jesus ministered? Wonderful. Well, we don't normally expect to see Jesus physically, but he's here by the power of his Holy Spirit, is he not? He's in us, and he's among us, and he's with us, and he's for us. And the passage goes on to say that Jesus taught them many things by parables. And a parable is something that's placed beside. So it's like an illustration or a comparison that's put alongside a truth to help us to understand and draw from that truth. As someone has said, it's like an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, which I think is a great way of putting it. It's wonderful to look into the parables because there's always something fresh and there's different angles to look at in them. Verse 3, listen, this is Jesus beginning to teach through this parable of the sower. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. And then in verse 9, Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So Jesus often spoke by parables. He put out these illustrations and these comparisons. So he didn't always lay out the truth in a way that was immediately understandable. He's looking for us to dig. I think that word's been used a couple of times this morning. Get your shovels out and get digging. He's looking for us to dig He's looking for us to go deeper into that truth. God wants you to encounter his presence. God wants you to hear his voice more often and more clearly. God knows where you are, and he knows how to get you where he wants you to be. And what he says there, Jesus says, is, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And of course, hearing is so key. It's so important that we're listening, to the voice of the Spirit. And you'll know, many of you, from the story of Elijah, how, you know, there was like a fire and then there was a wind. But it says the voice of the Lord was not in the fire and it was not in the wind, but it came to him like a still small voice. And isn't it good to know that the counselor lives within you? You know, the wonderful counselor lives within you, the one who can bring such wonderful counsel to you, both again in your own life, but also as a church here. God has got perfect wisdom, wonderful counsel. He wants us to hear. He wants us to listen for that still small voice. He wants us to get still enough. And let's face it, sometimes that's difficult in life. You know, I've got 140 children. It's quite tricky at times. you know, we've all got different... They're wonderful, by the way. We've all got different pressures in life. The squeeze comes on. And it can be difficult, even when we're having our quiet time, to be really still. What I found in my Christian experience was I spent a good number of years praying in a certain way to God, which was basically up my feet, scriptures open, and praying back the scriptures to God. That was a big part of how I prayed, and I do encourage you to do that. It's a wonderful thing to take scripture, you know, and pray it back to God, you know. And the scriptures there, here on the cross, for example, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And you can take a scripture like that and pray it back to God and just see where it goes, you know. Lord, thank you that you love the world. You know, you're turning it into a prayer. Thank you that you love my neighbors. Thank you that you love the people I find difficult to love. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love the world so much that you did something about it. Thank you what you did was a decisive and mighty thing, Lord, that you gave your own son, that you emptied heaven, that you poured yourself out. Thank you, Lord, and praise you, and worship you, and honor you, that you loved us all so much, Lord, that you gave your son. Thank you, Lord, that I am not going to perish because by your grace my faith is in you. Thank you, Lord, that your will is that none should perish, and that as they put their faith in you, Jesus, they can too be saved. Thank you that you have a heart and a vision and a purpose, Lord, to draw this world to yourself, to draw people to yourself. Thank you that your gift is eternal life. Thank you. I don't need to strive, Lord, to receive that. It's a gift. But, Lord, that is a promise, and that is a one. So you can take a scripture and pray it back to God. I find that is really good. But, you know, there was a time in my Christian life where the Lord had to really shut me up a bit, you know, and it's very difficult to shut preachers up, let me tell you. You know, nothing really stops us once we get going. It's okay, there's a clock at the back, that's wise, very wise that you've got a place with a clock at the back. But God, you know, all joking apart, really began to get me to quieten down at times, and in parts of, you know, my prayer life with God. And it came out of tough stuff. And who knows that God speaks through tough stuff and tough stuff that we would rather not have. But who knows, he's a master, an absolute master at what he does. That he's so worthy of worship because he's so masterful in what he does. And we don't get all the answers this side of why he does what he does. But what he does is the most beautiful and wonderful thing in our lives. As, of course, we, you know, we seek to cooperate and go with that. We're not going to get it all right. I certainly have not got it all right, put it mildly. But there was that season when he began to just come to me, is the only way I can put it. He came in a fresh way. Was I a Christian? Yeah. Was I filled with the Spirit? Yeah. Was there more? Yeah. So much more. And what I would say happened in that season, what he began to do was say to me, let me take the initiative and let it begin with your heart. Let me take the initiative. Let it begin in these times that you spend with me. Let me come to you. Let me embrace you. Let me love you. Let me heal you. Let me lift you. Let me be to you who I am. Let me be Father. Let me embrace you. As he was saying to me anyway, shh, Robert, shh. Quiet. And let me come. So I would so encourage you to create that space. You know, it's something in our, when I went to Crofoot Church, there's some brilliant intercessors there. And some of them, I'm not kidding, been praying for decades for something to happen. And I don't mean nothing that it happened in the past in the church, but for something fresh to happen. But the thing was, when we went into prayer, it was like, bang! Oh, they were off. You know, it was like, ooh, they were wound up at the back. Woo, away. Great, in many ways. But what we've tried to do in part of our prayer life together is be quiet. You know? And in certain contexts, people find silence very difficult. And I think even as individuals at times, you know, there's always some noise, isn't there? There's always something going on, even in our homes at times. And our brains are burling round. So, you know, in our prayer times, what we've learning to do, be quiet, so that we're developing ears to hear, hopefully, and listen for that still small voice and that working of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, you know, when he says these kind of things quite a lot, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. It's obviously really important that, you know, that we do that, and we encourage one another in that, and we bless one another, and we prophesy over one another, and we draw out of one another the gold that the Lord has put in. We draw out that hearing ability, that we recognize that, as it says in John, those who belong to God hear what God says. So if you think, oh, I'm not very good at hearing God's voice, well, don't speak that over your life. Have a look afresh at the Scriptures. You're a child of God. The Holy Spirit is in you. You do hear God. You probably heard God more than you think. You know, he who belongs to God hears what God says. That's encouraging. I belong to God, so I hear what God says. And so do you. And in verse 10, it says, Jesus was alone. A wee bit later, obviously. The 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. I find it really encouraging that I think that half the time the disciples were kind of scratching their head thinking, what's he talking about? Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, well, Lord, what's the way? What are you saying? And, you know, these disciples were ordinary guys. Yeah, ordinary people like you and I. You know, there's no superstars in the kingdom of God. We're all people made in the image of God, and we're seeking to learn and grow together. And sometimes they're thinking, what is Jesus saying here? What's going on? And I don't know about you, but I'm often saying, well, Lord, what's happening? What are you saying? Well, he gets them around in verse 11. He says to them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Now, that is a most wonderful sentence of Scripture, isn't it? The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So again, the initiative comes from the Lord. It's something that's given. There's no sense of striving there. It's to be encouraged by love to be in faith. Because you're loved, believe. Because I gave myself for you, believe. Open your heart and receive the life and the power of God's kingdom. Remember that, you know, at one point Jesus was being quizzed, and often when he was quizzed there was a bit of a dig with it. You know, they were always trying to catch him out, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, etc. And saying, well, where is this kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you know, the kingdom of God is neither here nor there. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, if you like, the kingdom of God wants a resting place in you. And before it's a growing place, it needs to be a resting place. That you receive that gift in your heart and your life. And you nurture it. And you let it grow. The kingdom is God's rule and reign. That's what it is. The word basileia in the Greek. It's the rule and the reign of God. Peace comes when we let God reign in our hearts and lives from the inside out. You know, the circumstances, the problems, the mountains, the difficult stuff is going to be changed and moved and sorted from the inside out. The kingdom is within you. And in another wee part of Scripture, Jesus says, it's a lovely way that he puts it. He says, don't be afraid, little flock, for the Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. I just think it's so tender. And this morning, you know, I really would encourage you to believe in the tenderness of God's heart for you. Again, as individuals, and as a little flock. The tenderness of the Good Shepherd's heart is really for you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for the Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. It's a gift to be received. How good is that? And Jesus says, turn to the person next to you and say, that's really good. Ask me just checking, you haven't nodded off to sleep, or you're thinking, what was for lunch again? Did we leave the oven on? I'm not sure. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So the truth is so precious, it's not going to be just given to anybody. In other words, God says, if you want this, you will dig for it, you will seek. But if you seek, you will find. So Jesus then says, verse 13, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path. Now that may represent perhaps hardness of heart. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And I don't think, you know, as I look at this parable myself, I don't think that I fall into necessarily one area or another. I can see different things going on at times. You know, is there a measure of hardness of heart? Well, Lord, would you deal with that? Where my heart is hard, because we don't want the enemy to snatch away the good. You know, God is sowing good stuff all the time, and he wants us to receive that and to receive, at times, a softening of heart. Others like seed, this is verse 16, on rocky places, which may be seen as a shallowness of heart, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So again, it's important that our roots go deep down into the Lord. And don't allow discouragement to overtake you. Discouragement comes to us all in different ways at different times. And the enemy loves to jump on the back of that and oppress us and push us down and say rotten things to us and make us think we're the problem. And the Lord says, no, just let your root and your roots go deep down into me, that you will not be a shallow person or a shallow Christian, but you will bear much fruit as you let those roots go down deep. So again, you know, I think, Lord, shallowness, please help me with shallowness that I can sense certainly at times. Verse 18, still others like seed sown among, it gets better by the way, you know, there's good news coming here, hang in. Still others like seed sown among thorns hear the word, and this may speak of a divided heart. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So it's as if these things come and knock at your door of your life, but they've not to come in. We have to seek not to let them in, because they want to come in. Worry and deceit and other things that take us away from the Lord will always try and come in, you know. But we've, by the grace of God, not to allow them in. And God wants us to have, it says in Jeremiah, singleness of heart and action, you know, an undivided heart. There's a wee verse in Psalm 86, it's verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. But it's going to come out of letting him come. Instead of letting these things come, let the Lord come with his love and his tenderness. And of course, at times, his challenge. And maybe at times, he's of course, he's rebuking his correction. Of course. But all that is done in love. To say, child, that's not my best purpose for you. This is the way. Walk in it. And so then the parable comes to an end, verse 20. It says, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. This is the purpose of God, that we might have a pure heart. And what God wants is for us, there's really three things in that verse, and one of them we've already mentioned, but it's to hear, accept, and produce. Hear, accept, and produce. It begins with hearing. It begins with being still and knowing that he is God, that he is your Father, that he is your friend, your Lord, your Savior, the great lover of your soul, that he paid a price for you, that he wants you. Wonderful little verse in I think it's in earlier on in Mark, where it says Jesus prayed all night as to who he was going to pick for his 12, and then it said he called those he wanted. How good is that? You are wanted. It doesn't matter where you've been, what your background is this morning. Or, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I've not done very well as a Christian. Maybe let the Lord down. And he says, come, you're wanted. You're wanted. So it's to hear that voice of love, to hear that call. And perhaps there's a fresh call in this season of life, in your own heart, and again in the life of the church. You're not going where you've been as a church. Isn't that good? That doesn't mean to say you haven't been in great places. But isn't it good that God has new things in store for us? This is an adventure. This is a mission. This is a calling. But no, he does it tenderly and wisely. So he calls us to hear and accept what he speaks to us. Accept that word. Accept that seed. Accept that kingdom. Accept that rule and reign. You know, feel safe under that canopy and that rule and reign. And then produce. Well, the producing will come. It's got to come if you hear and you accept. Just like as Jesus speaks in John 15, that he's the true vine and we're the branches. And he says, abide, remain, rest, go on continually living in, and let the life in me flow through you. Because, you know, we're told in Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. But also in John chapter 7, those who believe, streams of living water, streams of life will come from within. And that is God's purpose for you as individuals and as a body of people. Let's pray together. Can you thank God this morning for his wonderful love for you and for all he did for you through Jesus on the cross? And this morning, can you thank him that you are wanted? You're cherished. You're loved. You might not have got it all right, but God knew what he was taking on when he drew you to himself. Can you thank God that the kingdom is within you? It's like a seed. And that seed is there to grow. And you are someone that is growing. You might not always see that growth. But a wee bit later on in Mark, it talks about the parable of the growing seed. And it's imperceptible, but it's continual. God is changing you. Can you thank him this morning? That what he started in you, he will bring to completion, both as, again, as individuals and as a church. And can you thank him this morning for the fresh drawing power of his love to an even deeper intimacy? That he just loves your company and your time. It's not to be a pressure, but it's love responding to love, and it's letting his love in to do all that it does so wonderfully and deeply and powerfully. And can you say to the Lord this morning, well, Lord, where there's any hardness or shallowness or dividedness, Lord, I'm trusting you to deal with that. And I'm trusting you, Lord, to create in me a pure heart. I'm coming to you, Lord, and I'm responding. And I'm thankful to you, Lord, that truly what you have started, you will bring to completion. In Jesus' name, amen.